Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Rue.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
Yeah.
I like Hugh Jackman as much as the next guy.
But Huge Jackman.
Huge Jackman. Oh, that sounds extra dirty. Welcome to Radio Dale number 71.
This week in music history, the Spice Girls lose their only Spice.
On who charted, it's Twitter.
For the 60-second tip of the week, Snapchat.
The song this week is from the wonderful Andrew Austin.
And for our roundtable discussion, we're discussing how to break into the college market.
Yay. Boo, boo, boo. That was smooth.
That was probably the first one in a while.
I feel good for our smoothness.
There you go.
So let's get into this week in music history, titled self-explanatory. Let's go.
May 29th, 1965, the Beach Boys started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Help Me Rhonda, the group's second U.S. number one. The recording session was interrupted by the Wilson brothers' drunken father, Murray, who arrived at the studio to criticize the boys' enthusiasm. Wow.
Stop being so happy.
The recording reel continued to record the confrontation, which still circulates amongst fans.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I want to find them.
Yeah, we got to look that up.
I love that kind of stuff.
We find it, we should post it.
Yes.
Murray.
It's M-U-R-R-Y.
There's no A.
Murray. Number A. Murray.
Murray.
Oh,
is it mine? I'll go for it. I can do this. May 30th, 2009, Ozzy Osbourne was suing the band's guitarist, The last name has the letters needed for a proper Tommy, so Tony Iommi, over royalty payments. The 60-year-old had accused Iommi of falsely claiming to have sole rights to the band's name, which has cost him royalties from merchandise sales. Osbourne was seeking unspecified damages, lost profits, and a declaration he is half owner of the trademark. Iommi claims Osbourne legally relinquished rights to the band's name in the 80s. Osbourne said he believed all four original members of the band should share Black Sabbath's name equally. I think that's fair.
And that goes back to our podcast last week where we were talking about communication and how musicians or people in a band should figure that out. So that you're not suing the pants off each other a million years after you were popular. Or whatever. Still popular. I don't know. Who cares? May 31st, 1998. Sad day in music history.
Aww.
Get ready. Jerry Halliwell announced she had quit the Spice Girls.
Oh, this is awesome. I thought it was going to be a death.
It was. It should be. Jerry Halliwell announced she had quit the Spice Girls, saying this is because of differences between us.
Oh, again.
She continues to say, or have said, I am sure the group will continue to be successful, and I wish them all the best. I hear the bitchy undertones in that. But they had a couple more songs after that. Then they got back together, went on tour, and I got to see them.
Didn't that Viva Forever video that was computer animated,
yes,
wasn't it like that because Jerry wasn't around to film the video?
I don't know.
She left?
Yeah, like that album had her on it, but yeah, she had left pretty much around that time.
Mm.
And then they released another album, or two, one or two after that.
Was it called, like, Down to Four? I don't know.
Or just, like, We Are Missing a Member.
We Are Missing a Member.
Our new album. One less person. Anyway.
But if you want some new Spice Girls fun things, you can go check out a video by The Matinee.
Oh,
yes. Oh, that's a good point. Yep. Yes.
The cover Stop.
Good for them. It was actually very fun.
It was
they
amazing.
Dance. They dance. So
choreographed dancing. It's great.
Yep. June 1st, 1974, born on this day, Alanis Morissette.
Oh.
That makes her 40. You know what? She kind of looks older than 40.
She's looked 40 for a while.
Yeah.
Like
a really long time.
Sorry, really
Alanis.
Long time. Whoa.
Since you were 30.
Like since you were 10, Alanis, when you were a moose. June 2nd, 1964, during the first U.S. tour, the Rolling Stones made their U.S. TV debut on the world-renowned Les Crane Show, which aired at midnight and had viewers phoning in to ask the group questions, which is actually kind of neat.
That needs to happen more. Why can't people act like, I know there's a bunch of psychos out there, but
that's the thing.
Like, I would think it'd be so cool if we could phone in to Letterman and be like, Bono, Why?
Won't you love me?
I know where you live. Where are you staying tonight? But anyway, I see some issues with that, but still.
We just created the issues.
Anyway, June 3rd, 2006, the Red Hot Chili Peppers were at number one on the UK and US album charts with Stadium Arcadium, the band's ninth studio album. Proof that they will never go away.
No.
But if you haven't seen the drum off between Chad Smith and Will Ferrell, hilarious.
Excellent, I should check
hilarious.
That out.
Hilarious.
It only gets bad when Anthony Kiedis comes.
Always trying to sing. Yeah. You just ruined the ending. Sorry if anyone hasn't seen it. Anyway, Anthony Kiedis comes in there.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
She's speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
In spirit.
June 4th, 1992, the U.S. Postal Service announced the results of a poll conducted to see which picture of Elvis Presley should be used on a commemorative stamp. The young Elvis beat the older and larger Vegas Elvis.
Good.
Old and fat lost out to young and hot.
I wonder why.
I wonder if they actually like drew in sweat beads or
and like the chins. You know, we're making fun of this because it was mostly brought on by drug use.
We
can make fun of people that do that.
Who did that to themselves. Yes. They will still be angry letters.
We still love you, Elvis.
I believe it's time to find out who charted.
Who charted?
Yeah, let us know.
So this is the part in the podcast where we go over things like the radio charts, iTunes charts, talk about new music. But something really cool happened this week. There was a new chart that was created out of the blue.
Whoa.
So Billboard and Twitter partnered up and launched something called the Real Time Charts. And it just came out on Tuesday. So in real time, they measure the top trending songs and it's measured by acceleration per hour and updated in real time. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool thing to see what songs, I guess it measures the most shared songs, most talked about songs.
Most talked about in the US.
Over the last 24 hours. So they did two charts. One is called the Trending 140. And I wonder why they picked 140. So they do the top 140 artists, and those are the mainstream. And then they do a second chart that's really cool for emerging artists. Mm. And they also list the top 140 of those as well.
Sounds like a variation on Twitter Music, doesn't it? Because Twitter Music used to do that emerging thing.
But it failed.
So at Tuesday at 12 p.m. is when I looked. So the charts are obviously going to be very different now since it's real time. But here's what was happening then. So on the Trending 140, the first was Shadow by Austin Mahone. Hmm. Number two, Miss Movin' On by Fifth Harmony. Hmm. Number three, Money Can't Buy, Neo. Number four, Love, Jenna Kramer. And number five, Nintendo, Todd Carey.
Interesting.
That's really, it's interesting because it's a chart you can't really comment on week by week like all the rest.
Because
every week
changes.
It will be a bit different.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And for people like radio stations and stuff like that, it's another outlet for them to find new music to play something for the first time.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the Trending 140, but now let's take a look at the emerging artists. So number one, the song was Cut Her Off by Kay Camp. Hmm. Number two, All I Ever Wanted by Chidra Moses. Number three, Trap by Rich the Kid. Number four, Are We There, Sharon Van Etta. And number five, Dying Breed by Ransom. And as a side little note, a band that we know and love named Rival Sons were number 86 on the chart.
Yay.
Open my eyes.
Cool.
They were, I think, the only bands that I recognized on the chart.
On the chart?
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's a really cool way to discover new music.
Really cool.
What are people talking about on Twitter? Now we know. Like it.
Love it.
I loved it.
Yay. So a quick note also, there may be some background noise you're going to be hearing because of the lovely weather we're having in Toronto. We're opting to have the windows open.
It's hot.
So you're getting a bit of, we're giving you the Toronto experience
now. Yeah, you hear random noises.
Sounds
through
like
Radio
a
Dale.
Lawnmower.
It does sound like a lawnmower.
And it has been going all morning, so I don't know if it's like some sort of machine that's like a generator.
Maybe a leaf blower
or something. Yeah, I don't know.
There you go. Here. There you go. That's the Toronto experience right there. All right. It's time for the 60-second tip of the week, and I'm going to go off of a blog I wrote this week. about a often ignored or rejected app to give you some advice about how you may be able to use it, and it's called Snapchat. So if you've never heard of Snapchat, basically you take a picture, and send it to your followers, and it goes away in a set amount of time. Could be 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Seems a bit odd, but it can be very useful to artists. Number one, because the pictures are fleeting, it kind of makes them exclusive. So it makes it really special. So you send a picture to your fans, they only get a brief period of time to look at it with maybe a little message, then it's gone. So it does go along with the idea of being special. And speaking of special, it's very personal. Where Twitter and Facebook feel kind of like you're sending something out to many people, Snapchat feels like you're sending it directly. Even if you are sending it to a group of people, from you to that group, it's sent out one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the fan is getting it directly from the artist. It's picture and video based as well, and since snaps are visual, you can do anything you want. Like what you would do with Instagram or Twitter, you can do that with Snapchat, but you have that neat aspect that the picture will self-destruct at some point, basically. So a lot of artists have started using it. It's a good time to jump on the bandwagon if you're a visual artist and you like to send out images, and play around with it, because we haven't even tapped into what we might be able to do with Snapchat yet.
Interesting. I know that it's something that I've seen people use for fun.
Mm.
I know that Jess Moskaluk and Haley a lot during the CCMAs would use it. And I'd hear, even when I was on the road with Jess, they, you know. But is it videos or just pictures?
You can do short videos, and you can do pictures as well.
I remember seeing video, like them exchanging videos.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's something I've never... you'd have to make sure people in your social group would have it.
Yeah.
I'm not a musician, but, because if I just said, hey, I have Snapchat, I don't think any of my friends would have it, but if you're a musician, the chances of one of, you know, your fans probably having
it's pretty higher.
It's a larger group than my group of friends.
Yeah, so. Owen Pallett of Final Fantasy, he does it a lot, and he's apparently sort of one of the, people to look to when trying to figure out what to do with Snapchat.
Okay.
So definitely look for him if you want some ideas. Follow him there and get some of his snaps. But try it out. There's no harm in ever trying something a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work out, just stop using it.
Like me and Vine.
Like you and Vine. Even
Got
though
annoyed.
Vine's the best.
Got annoyed. Why, you know what? I had that too because it stopped working for me.
You probably was something simple as re-uploading the app.
Yeah,
but
I didn't want to do it.
Exactly.
So
I just
stopped
it
for a really long time.
I wasted too many minutes of my life on Vine. It's
Vine
addicting.
Still fun. It's addicting. It's fun, though. A little short videos just zapping at your brain is...
Yeah. I had some good laughs. Good memories.
Good memories. We should play, like, memory music right now.
Remembering Vine.
We could have a little photo thing of you looking at your camera. Little fading pictures. It's awesome. Do we have a song to listen to?
We do, and
oh, good.
I'm excited about this one. Because lately we've had country, we've had some metal,
mm-hmm.
we've kind of been all over the place, but now it's time to relax.
Nope, she's
sit
doing the
back,
yoga pose.
Yoga. And I think people should really appreciate what is coming up here, because this is a beautiful song. This artist is amazing. I think I can speak for all of us in saying that
mm-hmm.
we're huge fans of this guy.
Definitely.
His name is Andrew Austin, and he is a singer-songwriter out of Toronto. Or actually, he's from, I think,
Sarnia.
But
yeah.
He's living in Toronto. And he's had quite a bit of success so far with his album, While It's Still Light Out.
Mm-hmm.
And he released it last year. And CBC really took to it. He has a lot of fans there. He's done quite a bit of things at CBC Radio 1 and Radio 2. And Canadian Music Week, we had an opportunity to see him at various shows. He actually has a show coming up in Toronto on June 5th at the Drake Hotel. And he'll be playing there. And so his album, like I said, While It's Still Light Out, came out last year. This song is one of my favorites off the album. And I know that down the road we'll play some more songs for you from him. And if you get a chance to grab this album off of iTunes, I mean, that would be great, because I highly recommend it. But If It Ain't This Town actually has a video on YouTube right now, and it's really neat because they picked up a lot of old footage of family home videos, and it's kind of eerie in a way, but it's really cool, and he's got some more videos coming out down the line with some really cool concepts. So here is Andrew Austin with If It Ain't This Town. You wanna call it an American town? It's so
That was an awesome track from Andrew Austin, so check him out. Go grab his album on iTunes. Look for his video on YouTube.
And his various social media sites, where if you just Google Andrew Austin, you'll find him.
You'll find him. Cool. Yes. I believe it is time for our round table.
Yes.
And,
But the irony... No, maybe not irony.
Coincidence? Maybe.
Coincidence?
No. Because we're not sitting at a table that is round.
No, we are not.
We're sitting at a rectangle.
A square.
A desk that is kind of rectangular.
Yeah, it can be qualified as a square. No,
it's
a
rectangle.
So we call it the round table.
Yeah.
And we sit around the table.
The table.
But it's actually a rectangle.
But we form a triangle.
Yeah, we're still technically in a triangle.
For the triangle table.
The geometric.
I had to point that out, sorry.
I think we need to get a round table, though, at some point.
Yeah.
Because we keep using a term. Yeah. Dale.
Anywho, he's crashing through the door.
What? She just knocked the door off its hinges.
Just walks.
Anyways,
coffee before podcast.
Yeah, we're very caffeinated today. Not normal. Normal for me.
Not normal for me.
Not normal for Amber. So, I have, this is theoretical, I have a new band. It is a punk pop reggae band.
Oh.
We recorded at a small studio in Guelph, Ontario, and we think it's time to hit the big time. We know we aren't going to fit on commercial radio, but we think we have a chance to break into college radio. Do you have any advice for us?
I think we might.
Oh, excellent. So that must be what this roundtable is about.
It must be.
Great intro.
Great intro? Was that good or was that awful?
No, it was good.
No, I just need to find some pop punk reggae to end the show off with.
Yeah.
But.
So during Canadian Music Week, Amber and I went to a really cool panel called How Your Band Can Break Into the Lucrative College Market. And we were really interested in it because... working music to campus radio in Canada is something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But this panel was about a little bit about radio, but more so focused on trying to get shows actually in campuses, which was really interesting. So the first thing that they talked about in the panel was, can the college market break new acts? And there were a lot of different opinions about this, but first I want to ask you, Rue, what you thought, because I think that when you went to university, compared to now, things might be a little bit different.
Yeah. When I went to university, I worked at campus radio in Guelph for 4 years. And there was... the connection that you had with a music director there was what you wanted to make it. So I knew of some DJs that would come in, do their two-hour show, leave, and that would be it. But my music director, her name was Lori, I talked to her... I had a show once a week. I would often talk to her two or three times a week. Because we would just sit down and talk for 30 minutes about music. Mm-hmm. And as a result, she would introduce me to bands that were submitting and occasionally send me an interview. And I would get to meet new bands as they were passing through. So I had an opportunity to meet new artists and try to spread the word about them if I liked them.
Which is super cool.
But I think it's very much a DJ to DJ thing. At least back then when I was doing it, it's DJs have their own level of interest in working with new acts that are brought to them, say, if you submit to campus. A lot of them only really want to play the music they've discovered themselves.
Mm-hmm. And did you find that there were, like, people were really accepting, not just people that worked at the station, but the general students, that they would go to a lot of shows and they were sort of like hungry for new music?
Yeah, I think they were. And one of the main reasons for that is that the shows always took place at the popular bars.
Right.
So because they would happen at in Guelph at the what was called the Brass Taps, but we called it the Keg, or at one of the bars downtown, the college bars, you always had a crowd.
Right.
Because if you were playing, so long as you were playing, say, I don't want to say in the weekend, Wednesday to Sunday, there would always be somebody at the bar to watch you play.
Cool.
So a lot of good bands. And there's also, you know, centers, you know, colleges will have their little center spot where people can set up a stage and play too. So lots of opportunities.
Like in a courtyard
kind of deal.
Yeah.
Really cool. So one of the things that I think is a little bit different that they were talking about in this panel is that college used to be the place where people would go to find new music. They were ahead of the times. They were the trendsetters. But now, since there's the internet, everything's sort of a much more even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, it's, things are more DJ to DJ. People are finding the music on their own. People want to go to shows that they find out about on their own rather than, you know, maybe what's told to them at campus. So it's a bit harder for bands to try to break into this market that they're calling lucrative. In my opinion, like, I walk through a campus every day and I know that university students don't have any money. So if you're maybe, you know, like a pop punk band that Rue said, maybe try going like into the high school teenage market. Where, you know, those students have part-time jobs, so they have more free spending money or money from their parents rather than going after broke college students who might not be as likely to buy your stuff. But then it makes you think, like, well, what's the point of trying to get to campus radio and trying to book shows on campus? And it's still really important because it's like you're testing yourself in the marketplace. So you're still seeing if there's demand for you to be played on the radio, for people to go to your shows that are there. So it's really important for you if you're going to try to get to the next level to try to make it through that first one first.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's sort of like the first step into the professional career as a musician.
Yeah, because I think, you know, it really helps when we have an artist that we're taking to commercial radio. If we're able to say, hey, they've been this number in the earshot chart or in your market, on this specific station, they were number one, that speaks volumes, you know? That doesn't have to work for us. So,
So to get into the campus market, there are two things that you're going to want to try to do. The first is to try to get radio play. So that's really tough because there's a lot of competition because so much music is submitted. So you either want to do that by yourself or get a radio promoter to do it for you and speak on your behalf and have everything, you know, professional. And then also you're going to want to try to book shows that are on campuses. And that's actually even harder. And they were talking a lot between the correlation between radio play and ticket sales. And those aren't always the same thing. So for you to have a really great show on campus, what you're probably going to want to do is try to be an opening slot for a bigger act. And also look at what's playing in the market. And Amber's going to talk more about this later to see if you're going to if you're going to be a good fit and if you're appropriate for the promoter that you're approaching. Maybe you want to go over that now.
Well, there it was actually really interesting because, like India mentioned at the beginning, the two of us kind of sat through this panel, and me not working campus radio so much myself, at all. Where India does a lot of does all of the campus work here, so it was very interesting to listen to the talent buyers, the, you know, promoters, the agents, all of them speak about how to, and India has the heading here because this is a blog that is on the Dale Speaking website as well, how to approach a college buyer. So in the one girl really got, I think, made an impression on us because you could tell she's just had enough of people that has that have, do not have their shit together, for lack of a better term, and people that just throw stuff at them. And it kind of plays into everything else we do. You're not going to bring your rock song to pop radio. You're not going to just give your song and no other information to a rock station and say, here's my song. So why would you do the same thing to a college buyer? So this one really stood out to me because I, there's just so many bands or people or musicians, whatever, that just don't get this. And this is so important. First impressions are everything. And these are people that just do not have patience and do not care. If you don't, if your first impression is shit, then they don't care.
And she made a good point saying if you like really piss her off, she will call her promoter friends
yeah.
and tell them how much you pissed her off, so she will say don't yeah. book these guys because
and it's a small
like everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
So
that it's just some band sitting there at the panel going,
"Oh
god.
What have I done?"
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Was it me? But first of all, you've got to make sure that you have all of your assets together. So
yes.
when you're going to this college, the promoter, college bar, whatever, you have to be able to prove or show what you have and what you've done and convince them why they need to book you as an opening slot or whatever show, right? You need to be able to show them YouTube views, activity on social media, all of your materials, something as simple as a biography, professional photos.
Yeah.
Stats from last show that you played in the market.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Be able to show on Facebook, you're able to, well, I don't know how detailed you can get into.
Or you can get insights and just even just get snaps of that and show them.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
sure.
this many people from Guelph like me on Facebook.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
So make sure you pay attention to that stuff. Also take a look at people that have gone through, and I think India kind of touched on this earlier, look at who's gone through the market. If you are a metal band and they predominantly just have singer-songwriters,
it may not be a good market for
you. Yeah, you should probably, you know, just even if you did approach them, know that
yeah.
and maybe bring it up and just say, listen, I know if you do your research, that is half the battle done
mm-hmm.
because you're going to impress them. And I think that was one thing they were
yep.
stretching. Do your research.
Yeah.
Do not mess around with us. And yeah, and I think that's a sign of respect to them, and that's, you know, if you show respect, you're going to get it back. And the other thing, the big events that they also throw are like their Frosh Weeks, the year-end bashes. Those are some of the biggest shows. I remember when I was in college at Durham College in Oshawa, was there in 05, September, their Frosh Week, we had Yellow Card.
Oh, really?
But they had tons of bands open, including some local bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the other thing too. Really tap into your local market. If you have a campus nearby, you make sure
be friends with them.
Yes, be close with them. Make sure they know who you are. Have the support of them because again, they talk.
Yeah.
So if you know you phone promoter in Guelph, but you're from Victoria, and I have no idea if there's universities in these areas, Guelphers. But if you know you're from Victoria and you're trying to get into Guelph, and the promoter or the buyer from Guelph calls Victoria says, hey, I got this band, they can vouch for you.
Yeah.
But if you're a bunch of jerks, then they're going to
tell
you to go away. So, yeah, that kind of, that part of the panel really stuck out to me because they really just wanted to drive it home to do your homework, show respect, and have your crap together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great way to just try to start things and really get your way, like, rolling as a band.
Yeah.
So then one of the next things that they talked about was, let's say you do that, you're like, radio is loving your songs, you're at the top of the charts, you play a lot in all these areas. One thing that you might want to do is try to break into the U.S. college market, which is a completely different beast from the Canadian market, because you might be like so well known in Canada, but then you just go to the States and no one knows about you. So one thing that they do in the States that we don't really have here is they have something called middle agents, which they're a liaison between your booking agent and the school that you're trying to get shows at. So if you don't have a booking agent already, you're going to want one for the one trying to get into the States that has a good relationship with these middle agents as well, because those are going to kind of be your key to get into playing. And think about, you know, universities in the States are huge. Like, they are so much more massive, and there are so many more
here. So many.
So many.
Universities, colleges, like, all. Like, the term university and college in Canada is very different from the term university and college in the States.
We go to college, but college in the States
is basically the same as university.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a big... Is Harvard referred to as going to college?
No.
Yeah, well
you
Harvard's
say,
university.
It's university,
oh, okay.
But they still... If you went
they
to Harvard, you would still say, I go
I'm
to college.
I'm in college,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you still have your lower and your higher
yeah,
standards.
Yeah, you have your ranks.
Education.
But there's so many schools, like just in Oklahoma alone, where I go fairly often, there's just so many Oklahoma University, Oklahoma State University, all that kind of stuff. There's just so many.
Right.
In places where you wouldn't think all of those, a dozen universities, there probably are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scary.
So one last thing that they talked about was social media.
Yay.
When trying to go into the college market. So Rue can talk about that.
Can I?
Yeah.
So we just have some tips, social media for the college market. And of course, it's important to share your music and send links to the promoters and make it free. This is actually kind of something I've kind of been irked by, that people try to sell their CDs to promoters, or people try to sell their CDs to people that can help them. Give it for free.
Yeah.
These people are going to help you, help them out. Don't make your Facebook page so that you have to like it before they listen to your music. That's even kind of...
That's a piss off.
That's a piss off for big names, yeah, too. If you're like, I have a special thing, but first you have to like it. No thanks. And promoters will look at your Twitter and Facebook numbers. Radio will look at your Twitter and Facebook numbers. Managers, labels, everybody, they're going to look at it. If you have 200 fans on Facebook, it's not the end of the world if they're all engaged and excited. But they're going to look at it. So be enthusiastic online. Be professional. Be positive. This goes into the same thing you were saying about, they may call a promoter to see what you're like when you work in your hometown. If you're known as a jerk, that's going to get back to them. It's so much better to be positive and to have a good reputation, mm-hmm, than to screw it up. So that should extend online.
Yeah.
Always be positive online. Even if you're kind of a jerky band on stage and insulting the audience as a joke, mm-hmm, you'll want to be positive as you can online.
Well, the one buyer said that as soon as she gets a band like submit to her or reach out to her, first thing she does is go on Facebook, and she gets her entire staff to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you can look at when you go onto a musician's page, you can see which of your friends have liked it or how many of your friends,
yeah,
have clicked like. And the one thing that kind of stands out to her, but it's not a decision maker, I'm sure, is how many of her staff's,
yeah,
friends
have liked it.
And if, yeah, nobody has and the numbers are low, again, don't be discouraged by that, but it is a sign that, because they all live in that area. They,
yeah,
all live in Guelph.
Yeah.
So if no one in Guelph in their friend circle has liked your band,
then they probably don't have much of a fan base in,
yeah,
their hometown.
So,
yeah,
and
totally.
I know that it's stressful because you think, well, how the hell am I supposed to build a fan base? But it just goes back to what we've always said. Time, patience, and just...
Yeah.
You know, you have to
gumption.
Really, you have to really want this.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, just give up.
If it's just a hobby, that's cool. If you want to play like the local bars and have fun, then that's what you want to do with music. But if you're looking to make it a career, there's a reason why they call it work.
Yeah.
Like, this is a job. There's work to do.
And not everyone's going to make it, unfortunately. Yeah. That's the
other, or at least make it at a certain level.
Yeah.
There are a lot of acts in
you
Toronto
can make it,
that,
yeah,
can play Toronto 3 times a week and sell out every time, but they're just not going to make it on radio because they're weird or unique in such a way that radio is not interested.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So should we do a little roundup?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do a roundup.
So, submit your music to campus radio,
ding,
in a professional manner.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be discouraged if that doesn't lead to ticket sales if you're in the area, because there's a small listenership. But,
mm-hmm,
once you make those charts, it still means that there's demand for your music and that it's got high quality. Amber just thought of something.
And going in on that, when you're reaching out to the college buyers, phone them.
Yep.
Yes.
Don't email them. Pick,
yes,
up the phone.
Get on
and call
the phone.
Them.
Yeah. So number two, try to book shows. Call the buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Leave messages. Do it in a professional way. Do your research, like Amber said. Three. Have fun.
I mean, that's,
yeah,
such a big deal with everything. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Why is everybody not having fun?
People that are in bands have been doing this for years are like, shut up. You guys are assholes. We're not having fun. And yeah, it's easy for us to sit here and say, do it this way and you'll,
yeah,
be fine. But,
oh, totally,
that's not what we're saying, but we're... Our goal with this is to help you understand better, because it is to this day still shocking how many people don't understand the simple concept of reaching out in a professional way.
Yeah.
Yes, you're a band. It's a, yeah, party, and like our whole image is to like, oh shoot, that band's name is slipping my mind. Steel Panther. Where it's,
oh,
like, you,
yeah,
know, like, you don't expect them, yeah, to pick up the phone and be like, hello, this is John, somebody from Steel Panther, and I'd like to talk to you about, or,
yeah,
I'd like to inquire about booking a show with you. You would think you'd be like, hey, baby, let's have sex.
Yeah,
like,
but you
that's
know
the way they are. But you have to, if you can't do that, then have someone that represents you,
yeah,
you,
yes,
know, to do that. And yes, it's much easier to do all of this when you have an agent representing you, but, what, few times, I want to say 9 times out of 10, is that correct? You're not, bands don't have an agent representing them from Feldman or the agency group or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
It's hard. It takes work.
But if you have more questions, there's a blog with all this information on it this week. We link to the Earshot charts so you can check it out. Look at what's charting in each market so that you can see if that's something that you fit if you're thinking about going to one of those markets.
Yay.
Do it.
Do it. And do it. With the surrounding noises of Toronto, let us know if you liked being immersed on Avenue Road in late
sounds
spring.
Of nature in Toronto.
The sounds of Toronto
not
nature.
Not one damn bird.
And talk to us on the internet if you have questions about today's show. And I think that's good. Do we have any last thoughts?
You always ask that, but I'm exhausted by the end.
You guys have exhausted yourself. It used to be we'd ramble off things, but I guess that's it. That's it. Woo! Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.